Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program. This is Robert Jaramillo of Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School. We are working our way through the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. And currently, Pastor Brian is in verse 6, speaking on the blessings of hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Today, Pastor Brian will speak on the danger of having need of nothing and the danger of self-righteousness. We're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 3 as well as Luke chapter 18, and Pastor Brian will be showing us the contrast between the one who thought he had it all and the one who realized he had nothing. Let's go ahead and begin.
Turn with me over to Revelation chapter 3. Jesus spoke to a whole church that had that problem. Revelation chapter 3. This is the message that he gives to a church that's lukewarm. And here's their estimation in verse 17, chapter 3. He says, "Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing." That's the opposite of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. This is a church that Jesus says that is lukewarm. They say, we don't need anything. We got all that we need, and there's a satisfaction that's there. There should always be a discontent about our spirit, of where we're at in our walk with the Lord. Not allowing the devil to come in and bring condemnation, but allowing it to say, I need more of the Lord's work in my life. I need more of His grace, His mercy, His holiness, more of His spirit, more of His power, more of His love. I want to be more like Jesus Christ, and I'm longing for that. Rather than saying, well, I'm okay, I'm doing all right. And oftentimes what we do is we compare ourselves among other people. And what good is that? Usually you can always find someone worse than you. You say, well, at least I'm not like that serial killer over there. Well, great. I mean, that's really holy. We need to compare ourselves with Jesus Christ. And where do we fall on the scale? And when we see that huge gap, we say, oh, God, I need more. I need more of your work now. I need to have it for my survival, like I need food and water to survive. I'm like a sponge and I can't get enough. Rather than like this church, we are in need of nothing. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That's God's estimation. These people are saying, we're all right. God's saying you're poor, blind, miserable, and naked in His sight. And I'll tell you, that's why I will always welcome trials that come our way as a church. Because it wakes us up, and we're not going to get comfortable, not going to get satisfied with where we're at. God's going to jolt us and say, hey, don't forget about me. Don't forget the desperate situation too. You cannot survive without me. And apart from me, as Jesus said, you could do absolutely nothing. And so we're those in poor in spirit still remaining in that state and saying, God, I'm bankrupt spiritually. I want what you have to offer. I'm going to settle for no other substitute. It's not just going to be a religion or an outward religious activity. It's going to be a transformation of hearts. Because I want to be like you. And as I mentioned, the couples retreat, as we gathered together, the Spirit of God did a great work last night. Just a blessing to be a part of. After we had the study, I asked the men to come up, and for those whose hearts had been touched. I just had a sense, the Spirit of God radically convicting my heart to want to be a better husband and to be a better father. And I knew it wasn't just an emotion. I knew it was the Spirit of God touching my heart. And I said, I don't want to leave here the same. I want to be different. I want to go back into my marriage. I want to be the servant of all as Jesus Christ. As if you're going to be great in the kingdom of God, you're the servant of all. And He, you know, who is to be chief among you is to be the servant, to be the lowest, to be as the younger. And I was saying, Lord, I need that. And what I was crying out for, I was hungering and thirsting for His righteousness, that righteousness of being a servant, and it only comes from His strength and His power. And it was like my heart was ready to explode, and I just casually just said, hey, you know, here's what I'm experiencing in my heart, and if you as men, I want you to come up here, because I'm up here, but if you want to pray with me, gather up here. And the majority of the men came up, and we just humbled ourselves, bowed before the Lord, and started to pray and cry out. And the prayers were so awesome. They're like, God, touch my life, and I need more of your work. I want to be a better husband, a better father. It was just a crying out for that righteousness of God. You know, and I believe that God met those men that were crying out that way. Because He says, you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be filled. Now, we could have went to that retreat and said, oh, wasn't that a great time? We got away, had a nice dinner, a nice lunch, and, you know, we were able to spend some time with, and boy, the sea was beautiful. Who cares? I mean, that stuff's okay. But the real point was for us to leave transformed and changed. But it takes a heart that's going to knock and seek and ask and is not going to stop doing that till God touches their life. Are we that hungry and thirsty for the things of the Spirit of God? If we're not, we need to examine our heart. I believe this really gives us a spiritual temperature upon our life. Are we hungering and thirsting? Or have we plateaued out and say, I'm not really in that desperate need? There's great blessing in having your heart just wanting so much more of the Lord. I believe He's honored by that, and He meets you there, and He touches your life. Because you can keep knocking on the door of heaven until you get what you need. And God, praise the Lord, we don't have to twist His arm. He's ready and willing to give us what we're in need of. Turn over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. You'll see the contrast in two men as they went to pray, what we should be like and what we shouldn't be like. Verse 9, Luke 18. It says, and he also spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That's a death to hungering and thirsting for righteousness. If you think you're better than others, if you have your own righteousness and you look down upon others, that's the death of hungering and thirsting because you think, hey, I'm better than them, I'm doing all right. Verse 10, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Couldn't get any more opposite in that culture. The Pharisee, the most holy man in society, the tax collector, the one that is despised. And some of the Pharisees taught that if you were a certain type of tax collector, you could not be saved. There was no room for repentance because you were stealing from God's people. And, you know, even today, the tax collector, the IRS man, is not your favored individual. You don't send him a birthday card. You don't send him something for Christmas. I mean, we don't like him. That's the bottom line. But it's magnified even in this society even more. And so here is, in the religious setting, a man favored by God and a man despised and rejected by God. Jesus has to correct their view. But verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. See all of his great accomplishments of what he wasn't and all the things that he did. So it doesn't matter how long you've been in the Lord or how many things you've accomplished, quote unquote, in the name of Jesus Christ. It still amounts to nothing when we come before God and we see our state before him. I stand empty before you, Lord. If I fast twice a week, maybe I should fast seven times a week. If I give, I should give more. If I pray, I should pray more. I need more of the work of your Spirit in my life. Look at verse 13. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, the other guy, not the Pharisee, he's the one that went away justified. That humble man that realized, I'm in need of God. That's where the Lord wants us to be. Begin not allowing the condemnation to come in where you listen to the voice of the devil where God says, hey, you are a sinner and God drives you away, but I am a sinner and I'm in need of God's mercy. I'm in need of God's strength. I need God's deliverance. I want to be transformed. I want to be more like Jesus Christ. And then that drives you to pray and to cry out to the Lord rather than like this other guy saying, look at all these things I do.